Obviously, as a pediatrician, it seemed a natural progression in terms of public service to get involved in a school board as opposed to other public office. And so that's what I got involved with. And I've been retired now for about 18 months and had time to do things and decided this was a useful thing to do, so I decided to go ahead and run again for office. I'm looking forward to, and by the same token, I'm somewhat hesitant about getting back on the board.
Well, you have no choice now. You're all in. I seem to remember, Tom, during your 13 years on the Sitka School Board, that you took an active role in legislative lobbying, and you were also, I seem to remember, a kind of a champion of special ed.
Yeah, I did spend quite a bit of time going to the legislature as a sort of a legislative liaison. I actually had a fair amount of experience doing that when I was in Ketchikan. I was the chairman of the State Medical Licensing Board and spent quite a bit of time co-authoring and championing a measure to strengthen the Alaska State Medical Board licensing authority and regulations. So I'd had some experience doing that, so it was relatively easier to move into that sort of a position with the school board going to Juneau for lobbying a couple times a year. Interest in special education and remedial is, of course, something that was appropriate and relatively familiar and comfortable for me, having worked with children with special needs. And so that was something I got involved in.
All right. Thank you, Tom Connolly. Tim Fulton, you're diving in again. This would be your third term?
This will be my third term, but fourth time running for the school board position. Didn't make it the first time I attempted. I just say thanks for having us. I appreciate any opportunity to talk with the community, and hopefully the phones will be ringing and the messages will be coming in. But my name is Tim Fulton, and I'm currently the clerk for the Sitka School Board. And why I'm running again is I am an effective member through the various trainings and such that we've done with the school board and the school board's association at the national and state level. I'm finally getting it figured out, and I still have enough energy to be putting in the time that it takes to be a good board member. Past experience, I first came to Alaska in 1973. I just got out of the eighth grade, and my parents sent me up to visit my brother in Cordova, and I loved the place. I came back every summer until I graduated high school, and then I became an Alaskan. So I moved to Sitka in 1989, and I just started various volunteer levels with the schools and so on as my daughter grew, and I got more and more involved. And my first run was there was nobody else on the ballot when I put my name in, and all of a sudden there was two other names there. But I really enjoyed what I learned that first time, and I do have a passion for our kids being successful. And so I'm running one more time, hoping to engage the community in the conversation, and hopefully somewhere along the line we find some more people that are interested in running for this important position.
And like Tom, your daughter is already done with school.
Yes, I'm my daughter. I'm proud, very proud of her. She is in the Air Force in Minot, North Dakota, and doing quite well there. I'm very proud of her. So, and she's a Sitka High graduate.
All right. Thanks, Tim Fulton. If you have a question for either of our candidates, you can give us a call, 747-5877, and we'll put you on the air, or you can just dictate your question to Emily or Rachel, who are standing by to answer your call. You can also post a call to our thread on Facebook, and that's the Raven Radio Facebook page, and we'll get to it that way. You kind of touched on it, Tim, and that's sort of where I'd like to start is why the school board race hasn't been super competitive lately. I realize there's probably lots of different reasons, but it doesn't seem like people are as eager to do this service as they used to be.
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been asking myself that, and we've actually had that conversation at the board table to see what it is that might generate people's interest in. And I mean, in my opinion, it's the most important thing we can do. It's our future is shaping the education of our students and our children. So I don't know why it is. Yeah. Tom, you have some idea?
Not really.
Is it because people think the school district is operating smoothly?
Well, I would hope that they have the confidence in the board, but that we're listening and doing what we think is best for our students and best for the community. That sure could be it, but we definitely need to have some more energy and some more people getting involved, at least with the conversation, letting us know how we're doing. Tell us why you might not be interested in running for a school board position or those kind of things. We'd love to have that conversation.
Yeah, how's it look to you, Tom?
Part of it has to do with the fact that we've had a relatively stable administration and teaching staff over the years. It's as far as trying to recruit teachers to Sitka, we have a lot more success than places up north. It's a nice place to live. It's a beautiful environment, so that's a relatively soft sell for getting people to come. We've also been fortunate in being able to recruit our administrators from the school staff, so that it's been pretty stable in that regard. And as far as the board is concerned, we probably went through a period of about 5 or 6 years where it was the same 5 members, so that may be part of it too. Beyond that, I don't really know. It isn't as exciting as the discussions that go on at the assembly. It is not something that generates quite as much controversy as the assembly does relative to spending money for roads and deciding whether they want to tax fish catches and et cetera, et cetera. They're more controversial subjects, but that might be a part of it too.
I wonder if some of it is just, well, I don't know. The challenges seem very large. I've been back covering the regular school board beat for a couple of years now, and the Alaska standards are here now. It's gone from a topic of conversation to a topic of implementation, and I wondered if we could just talk about that for a bit, because that does seem to be one of sort of this impressive set of challenges that the district is facing. It's been on the minds of the superintendent. It's been discussed at the past couple of meetings, but it's been understood that adopting the Common Core, or Alaska standards as we call them in Alaska, was going to be expensive. Are we now experiencing sticker shock over this?
Yeah, absolutely. Two areas that we have to cover this year are math and language arts. And both of them are going to cost someplace in the order of $500,000 apiece. The cost for new textbooks, for materials, teacher training, et cetera, are quite high. And the fact of the matter is we've been mandated to do that and are required to do that, but we were given no money to do it with. And so it's going to have to come out of our operating expenses. And it's ironic that we are being mandated to take on programs that will improve the learning experience, but we're taking it out of operating budget, which means that we won't have the money to retain teachers, we won't have the money to recruit, we won't have the money to actually put the program together. So there's a lot of anguish over that. And part of our request this year to the legislature is to fund that. It's a dilemma of significance.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Tom used the term mandate, and I remember I was at the board meeting when the school board adopted the Alaska standards. Was it not an option for you?
Well, we had the option of adopting the Alaska standards or the Common Core standards.
But it was going to be one or the other.
One or the other. We didn't have a choice there. The whole politics of it is that Alaska drug their feet for a significant amount of time, and it finally got to the point where they didn't feel that they could not go with. I think we were the third or the fourth to the last state to adopt these standards. So it was forced upon the districts and more or less forced on the state as well. But it is a big price tag. We known it's coming. You know, we've prepared last year, as Tom was saying, with our legislative priorities. We had the cost of the adopting of the standards. On that, we had the new teacher and administrator and evaluations, which part of this package as well, was on our legislative priorities. And actually, last year for the budget, we made a hard choice. We actually cut two programs in order to position ourselves this year for these bills that are coming due now for the adoption of the math and moving into looking at the materials and the curriculum for the language arts. So.
All right. Thanks, Tim Fulton. Tim Fulton and Tom Conley are candidates for school board. The number to call is 747-5877, or you can post a question on the thread on our Facebook page, Raven Radio's Facebook page, or you can email us, news@kcaw.org. Tom, you mentioned $500,000 per subject area. On the legislative priorities for the district, it's broken down as $1,648,000 for instructional materials and professional development for new state standards, and then $250,000 for teacher evaluation development and implementation. So we're pushing $2 million. And I just, you know, with a total budget of, the district's budget is around $20 million, right? Give or take. I mean, where do you turn up $2 million in a $19 million budget? You guys are smiling. Nervous. There's some nervous laughter on the other side of the console.
That's a good question.
It is a very good question. And one of the things that strikes me at that is the conversation that's been happening at the assembly table about funding for roads and the time and energy that people have been taking and putting into that. And I would love to have that conversation about how we can fund these mandates and other programs. I mean, since I've been on the board, we have been losing. You know, we'd have a teacher retire. French, we no longer offer the four levels of French. And, you know, that's just an example. We've been losing. We haven't been keeping up with inflation. There's a lot of things that straw is going to break the camel's back here sometime soon. And we're getting really close to it. This year at our board goal setting session, we are going to be approaching the budget a little bit different. We're going to be putting things out there in advance as to what it looks like we're going to be cutting, so we can have that conversation with the community. Hopefully we can have a conversation with the community before we get to that point, you know, with suggestions of how we can raise some revenues or whatever that might look like. But it's dire. We're looking at some real issues with that.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. Before I got off the board the last time, about 2 years ago, I was talking about the fact that we need to face the fact that we are finally responsible for how the students do here in Sitka. It's nobody else's responsibility in the ultimate sense. And because that's true, I think that we need to very seriously look at the fact that we need to raise taxes in town. It's not a popular opinion. From what I can understand, a mill increase in the property taxes will achieve about $1 million in extra tax money for use in town, hopefully for the schools. It will also let us close some of the gap that we have between what we put forward and the cap that we're allowed to use, which is presently about the difference between what we put into the schools and the amount that we're allowed to put into the schools is about $1.4 million. A raise in the property taxes of $1 million will give us $1 million. That's one thing we can do. Other things that we can look at are whether we are providing more bus transportation than we need to. I think some of the regulations are such that you're mandated to provide bus transportation if it's more than a mile to school, but you can permit people to get there on foot under that. That's not a big item, but it's something we could look at. In terms of everything else that we start talking about, we're inevitably talking about cutting programs and cutting classes. And we, at the present time, basically put no money into sports or competition. That's left up mostly to the parents and to the community to raise that funding. And so that's not a particularly effective place to cut expenditures.
Yeah. Tom Connolly and Tim Fulton are candidates for school board. They're the only two candidates running for two seats open on the school board. The number here at Raven Radio is 747-5877 if you'd like to pose a question to the candidates. Tom, this idea of raising the millage rate, it would be kind of a long road. It would be a sell. I don't know how tough a sell it would be, but to just elaborate on this idea of funding to the cap, we talk about this a lot in the news, mm-hmm. and we finally got a nice chart from the district. The Sitka funded schools to the maximum amount of allowed by law pretty regularly up until 2001.
You could even point out that there were doing things to hide some of the funding that they put out there.
Yeah, and then they were doing other stuff like mm-hmm. passing money for community schools and the swimming
and,
pool.
And kind activities.
Kind of in a behind-the-back sort of way. But then in 2002 and 2003, slipped up just a little bit, dropped to 97% and 98% of the cap. Respectively, then it was back on track for a couple of years. And then beginning in 2006, there's been this steady erosion. Mm-hmm. It started out at 93% of the cap, and it slipped as low as 70% of the cap in 2013. And for 2015, the assembly has ticked it back up from 74% of the cap to 79%. And it's this $1.4 million difference that you were talking about, Tom. So it's gotten to be a fairly significant amount, and I've heard you guys mention that it's difficult to lobby the legislature for more money when the city is not putting up the full amount available. And I'm I want to just make sure that that is your feeling on the board. You do feel a little bit like your hands are tied somewhat when you go to Juneau and make the case for Sitka Schools.
Well, if I just take that off, I don't go to the state. I keep things, the conversations here local. But after last year and actually happened to cut the programs instead of just losing the programs through retirement or whatever, I made a point and I went to the city and to the assembly members and so on and had conversations about what we can do to kind of increase our funding from the city level. And it just, there's so many questions about it, you know, the millage or increase in the property or the sales tax, a lot of different things. And nobody's willing to step out there. So at my level here in Sitka, if we could, it was heartening last night to hear the assembly candidates say that they would like to fund the schools more. But if we can step out there from the public and say, you know what, this is really important to us. We got to find out a way that to fund our schools. So, and then on the state level, Tom deals with them. So,
well, I guess Jennifer Robinson and Lon Garrison have sort of been soldiering over to Juneau and making the case to the legislature for more funding for schools. Is that a role that you would see yourself getting into more, Tom?
It's something that I did in the past. I think I went over to Juneau something like 7 or 8 years running as part of the delegation. And the what we used to get when we would go over to Juneau and go to the various offices, the first thing they would always ask you is, are you funding to the cap? And we were always in an excellent position and were able to say, not only do we fund the cap, but the buildings all belong to the city rather than the school board. And therefore, the city can go above the cap in certain ways, such as funding part of the janitorial responsibility in the schools, funding the swimming pool, donating money to student travel, et cetera. And so we were really in an excellent position in that regard, and that's all fallen apart as we've dropped below the cap. Position that I've taken anyway has been, look, these are our children. The fact that the state is not coming up with the money to fully fund education perhaps can be argued as being appropriate or inappropriate, but in the final analysis, we're the ones that are responsible for it.
All right. We'll talk more about this, but in the meantime, we have a caller on the line.
Good.
So you guys will have to put your headphones on in order to hear the call. And if you'd like to put in a call to our forum tonight, the number is 747-5877. Right now we have Jessica on the line. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. Good evening.
Yeah, hi. Do you have a question?
Hi, Jessica.
I do, and I hope it's not too long.
Well, give us a try.
All right. So my question is, in light of increasing student expectations and considering that teacher evaluations are going to be increasingly linked to those student performance data. In a couple of years, a teacher's evaluation will be linked to 50% of it will be coming from student performance. And so I just was curious about the thoughts of supporting teachers, supporting students, what the board could do, and then the role that they see the community taking in student success.
All right. Thanks very much, Jessica. We'll let these guys tackle it.
Thank you.
Well, I guess from what I understood about the question is getting a backlight there from the headset, is that the teacher evaluations and what as board members we can do about it and how we can assist that, the teachers. And I got asked a question the other day in the grocery store about why do we not just say, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to evaluate our teachers. We're not going to buy into this. But it's one of those things that, like the caller said, at some point it's looking at 50% of the teacher's salary is going to be based on their students' performance. Lots of things wrong with that. But what I'm excited about is that right now we do have the ability to design what this evaluation looks like. And we can use that for working with the teachers and the teachers' unions and our administrators and so on. We can use that in a way that helps our teachers become better teachers. And thus, it will help the students in their achievements. As far as what the community can do to help with this goal is talk to us. Let us know what you think. Let us know if there's a reason, a better evaluation out there, a better tool that's being seen in the business world or something like that. Because we still, the state tells us that we're going to do this, but they haven't told us how we have to do it at this point. So we're still kind of in the driver's seat for that.
Thanks, Tim Fulton. Tom Connolly?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question and a very difficult one. I think as we start out with the teacher evaluations, it counts for something like 20-30% of the final marks, as you were, and it slowly goes up to 50%. I would agree with Tim. There's a great deal of responsibility that devolves on parents and the community in general in terms of encouraging students to do well in school and to take it seriously and to attend, miss days at school, have some enthusiasm about their homework and being involved in extracurricular activities. Children who involve themselves in more than just the classroom do considerably better by every standard. And so that's, you know, something that we can be encouraging in the community. It's very reassuring and very encouraging that the teacher organization, the SEA, has been actively involved in discussing the teacher evaluations. Some of the more onerous parts of it were dropped, such as the filming of teachers in the classroom as part of the evaluation, which was a terrible idea and which has been thrown out. And it's a subject or a project that is in process and certainly hadn't reached its final stages yet, but we're working with people, working with the teaching staff to try to improve it, and they're involved in the evaluation process.
Everything you guys are saying sounds very encouraging, but I wonder if despite all this, and as our caller Jessica was saying, that we need to involve the community in improving student performance and kind of get this, make education sort of be this collaborative process, I kind of wonder if there is not a risk that with student performance tied to teacher evaluations, we'll see more of this, you know, the so-called teaching to the test rather than less. And if to the same degree that the education, that the Alaska standards have changed and required a lot of spending on new instructional materials, and you're having to cut programs as a result, therefore impairing education. If this idea of improving, of linking teacher evaluations with student performance will ultimately have a harmful effect on, you know, will sort of create the opposite result than what we're after. Do you think about that at all? Is it even on the table, or have efforts been made to kind of circumvent that possibility?
It has such potential to just be devastating to education as we know it today. And I don't see that it's going to, at its ultimate where it goes, is going to be, it's not going to be good. But right now we're facing mandates. We have the ability to work with our teachers.